Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. On Money FM 89.3, The Washington Report with Nirmal Ghosh, U.S. Bureau Chief with The Straits Times.
Money FM 89.3, you're listening to The Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Manisha Tank.
Deal or no deal? That's the question in many Americans' minds because they're continuing this wait for some kind of a coronavirus stimulus support package since the first rounds of benefits ended back in, July 31st, I believe.
Yeah, it was quite some time ago. Over the weekend, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell announced that the Senate will vote on a $500 billion coronavirus stimulus bill on Wednesday.
Yeah, but wait a minute. $500 billion, that's in comparison to the $1.8 trillion package Republicans were trying to offer. The Democrats preferred a $2.2 trillion plan.
Yeah, so 500.
Big change.
A bit of a climb down, isn't it? Despite continued talks between Democrats and the Trump administration, a larger bipartisan deal has still remained elusive. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi turned up the heat by setting a 48-hour deadline for progress, and that happened on Saturday night. So could this time pressure help break this impasse?
And we've also got the countdown underway for the U.S. presidential elections, about 15, 16 days away, just a little bit over 2 weeks. I mean, whose campaign has more funding behind it and whose campaign might have suffered Russian interference? We'll get into those details in just a while. I'll leave you on that. For now, on the line is Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief Nirmal Ghosh. Nirmal, good morning. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, Nirmal, always good to talk to you. The Senate is set to vote on a $500 billion stimulus bill. That happens Wednesday as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has set this 48-hour deadline to approve a stimulus deal before the election. But what does this smaller bill include and how likely is it to pass?
Hi there. Yes, it is far below the $2 trillion that Democrats have demanded and less than the $1.8 trillion that the Republican leadership proposed. And that ran into trouble with many Republicans themselves not willing to support it. So this includes funding for schools, federal unemployment insurance, funds for vaccine distribution. The Democrats also have been pressing for funds for testing and contact tracing. There may be some money for that. But it is definitely much narrower. It's being called a skinny bill. And of course, this has become a game of political one-upmanship. Unlikely to pass, according to what I hear. But there are still 2 days of negotiations ahead, so we'd have to wait and see.
Yikes. Okay. Also over the weekend on Saturday, to be specific, President Trump addressed that his fundraising campaign is trailing behind his Democratic rival Joe Biden's. But he did say that he didn't need the money. At the end of last month, Joe Biden had raised $432 million compared to $251.4 million for the Trump team. So how might this gap impact the president and his campaign?
This potentially a very significant impact because this election is, of course, down to the wire in around 6 or even 7 very close states. So even a few thousand votes count. On Monday night, you'll see what that money can buy at the Cardinals versus Dallas Cowboys game in Arizona. So fans will be watching on ESPN. And the Biden campaign is apparently spending nearly $400,000 for 3 TV spots during the game, 2 for the Phoenix market and the 3rd nationally. The Trump campaign is spending just $36,000 on 1 local spot during the game. So what that kind of money buys the Democrats is it allows them to go local and regional as well as national. The Trump campaign is going more regional and local in what they say is a surgical approach. They have certainly far better outreach in social media. And the Democrats have to contend with that and counterbalance that. So the Democrats have this sustained big bang approach.
Remember how Trump said he brought back the football? And then because of a lack of funds, he could lose out due to advertising on the football.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see how that plans out.
Very much. And I think it just echoes, you know, it's not what you spend, it's how you spend
how
it.
How you spend,
right?
Yeah.
So, Nirmal, getting back to this, U.S. authorities are investigating whether recently published emails that purport to detail the business dealings of Joe Biden's son in Ukraine and China are connected to an ongoing Russian disinformation effort targeting Biden's campaign. This one's filled with intrigue. What do we know so far about this?
Not all that much, except that the circumstances are rather fishy, right? You don't just discover emails from Joe and Hunter Biden in some random laptop which has been sitting around for years, coincidentally just 3 weeks before an election, do you? So this has, of course, fueled Donald Trump's and Rudy Giuliani's campaign to prove that Hunter Biden, because of his dad being vice president, was making money from foreigners, from Russians and Chinese. And it opens up a rabbit hole of conspiracy theories. This sort of supercharges that rhetoric, and Trump supporters are convinced this is all real. Actually, of course, Trump supporters don't need that much convincing. This is more to sway independents. It might do that, but as I said, I mean, the story itself seems dodgy. So whether it gains real traction and damages Joe Biden, we have to wait and see.
We're on the line with Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief Nirmal Ghosh. Nirmal, next one. State election officials across the U.S. are reporting record numbers of voters casting their ballots ahead of Election Day on November the 3rd. What do we know so far about the demographics of who's voting early? I mean, does this give any insight, perhaps, leading up to the election?
The key insight is that this is good for Democrats. It indicates that their base is excited and is turning out. What we know so far is more than 26 million people had voted as of Saturday. That's more than six times the number of votes cast by the same point in 2016. Democrats cast about 53% of those, more than Republicans, who in general prefer to vote on Election Day. So early voters tend to be older. Voters 50 years or older made up apparently about 70% of the early votes cast, according to one analysis I've seen. But the increase is also across the spectrum. Many thousands more young people have voted as well at this point compared with 2016. And African-American voters make up a larger share of early voters than in 2016. More than six times as many African-American voters have voted early this year than at this point in the last campaign. So that is very good news for Democrats.
It certainly is, and very fascinating to just analyze how it's all turning out. And this Thursday, President Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden will go head-to-head in the second and final debate. I'm sure that will be a big TV moment. Nirmal, what are the expectations, and will the debate commission have to implement changes?
No significant changes announced yet. We do expect the president to interrupt a bit less, perhaps, because he got bad feedback last time. He will give Joe Biden more space. That's what one of his top aides, Jason Miller, said on Fox a few hours ago. So we will likely see fewer interruptions. And then topic-wise, we'll probably see a bit more of a focus on the Supreme Court issue and the allegations against Hunter Biden that we just spoke of. But I don't think anybody expects it to be any less contentious. This is like the third round in a heavyweight fight.
All righty. We've been speaking with Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief Nirmal Ghosh. Nirmal, as always, really grateful for your time. Catch up with you next Monday.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.